D-H-Z, go! I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z, know what popping in the field.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Tell him what you know, man.
Yeah.
B as in B-boys.
I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah,
but you really need one of those, you know.
Yeah, one of those things.
Yeah.
I love this.
Hey, man, we love you too, man. I gotta look up his name so when I tell him I love him back, I can at least act like I know who he is.
At least for this season.
Man, welcome to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Ooh, yeah.
It's me and Tomas today. He's not gonna be with us, but I tell you what. I don't know. Again, it's one of those things that mixed feelings.
We don't want Heath to blow up anyway.
No, Heath was in
rare
form.
We should have recorded him while the game was going on.
We are trying to encourage Heath to actually let loose. Now, Heath.
He let loose yesterday.
Okay, Tomas has been doing radio for years and years and years. I mean, he has one of the most one of the most popular political talk shows, you know, generic too, but a lot of politics on there.
Yeah.
Talk shows in all of Kentucky. And, you know, I've done a little bit of radio, and I'm a musician, so I'm used to being in front. He doesn't have a lot, and if I could get him
to loosen up,
to do what he does when we're sitting at that table watching the game, here in front of the microphone, all you guys listening would just be dying laughing. You know, I might have to have the bleep button sitting there, here's Heath.
Well, then, God damn, put him on a bus and over to Caravan. God damn it.
It's hilarious. He gets so upset.
Yeah.
But anyway, unfortunately, we won't have that element. But here's something I don't want to say.
Right, we got to start with
Cadet. Five touches yesterday.
I thought you said Cadet's a tool.
No, that's total. Maybe I spelled it wrong, but that's not unlike me, too.
All right.
So, Coleman. Five touches and at least three more. And this is off the top of my head. I know he had five touches, but he had at least three more targets.
Targets.
Lito played the whole game. Then if I'm going to keep going down the list, you got Harper played the whole game.
Yep.
And I'm going to sit here and tell you right now, if those guys are getting that many touches, some of them in crucial situations.
And you know that Cooks didn't get 15 touches according to Charles Davis.
He didn't get that. Yeah. But if these guys are getting this many touches, you cannot win games.
Nope.
With Lolito playing a whole game and with Coleman getting, you know, let's just call it eight targets, and with Cadet getting five touches, the point is that these guys just simply aren't good enough. And now here's where if these guys are replaced with better players, we talk about the inconsistency. You're not so inconsistent when you have, instead of having Lolito in the game, you have Unger. You're less inconsistent because Unger will fail less times.
That's correct.
You're not as inconsistent when you throw in the ball to Thomas instead of Coleman because Thomas will be more
consistent.
Although
Coleman looked
He did. He actually, there were a couple of plays where, you know,
he
listen.
He put his shoulders down.
I respected that because one of my biggest criticisms of him, he just doesn't seem very tough. And, yep. I mean, when you look at him, I mean, after he did that, I was kind of proud of him because I give him a hard time. But I tell you what, anybody, look, you can be upset if you listen to his show and I'm giving him a hard time or whoever I get. I want every single one of them to succeed. But if you think I'm going to just be here cheerleading, it's not going to happen.
No.
So he's done nothing to make me think that he could step up. But I tell you yesterday, he had a nice catch, turned around, put his shoulder down and ran that guy over.
Yeah.
And I had this sense of pride. I literally was proud of him. So, you know, but here's the thing. So the point is that I'm making is, I said, and the Saints are making my prediction look bad. This year, they are what we thought they were.
Now they're worse than I thought they were.
Well, here, and I'm talking for
although me. I'm going to say something different in a little while.
Well, when I finish this up, and feel free to contradict me. You know what? Matter of fact, we got a new hotline number.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe since we don't have Heath here to set the record straight, we can get some people to call for the Thursday show.
There you go.
And see which side they feel is a better representation of what they feel.
All right.
So what I'm saying is this. Over the last couple of weeks, my whole idea of not this year it's going to happen in 17 is when we're going to make a legitimate playoff run in 17. They're starting to make me feel a little uncertain about that because of the inconsistent play.
That's
but
right.
Then when I look at the guys on the field, the reason you're inconsistent is because the players on the field are inconsistent. The more times you have to get the ball to a cadet instead of just from years past, instead of Reggie Bush, means the more times you're going to have failures, like cadet letting a sure touchdown go right through his hands.
Right.
Okay. Coleman, you know, at times just not making plays that you feel he should have, or a good receiver, and you know Thomas probably would have made.
Yep.
Lolito getting beat up at the line of scrimmage. Not giving an – and listen, I'm not one to just defend Breeze because Breeze has had a pretty bad stretch now.
Yep.
And I'm not talking about one game. I'm talking about he's
several
had a brutal
–
I think three out of the last four games except for the Rams.
And he's been wiggling that shoulder around, which I'm going to get to in the show today later.
Now, that has a lot to do, and now I'm defending Breeze, who hasn't played that well. But how much of that has to do with back when he was playing extremely well, he had an offensive line. He could sit back there and pick teams apart. Now you can see his clock speeding up many times, like the play to Cooks. How many hits did he take before he went over the top to Cooks and overthrew him?
Yeah.
So I am defending Breeze, even though he played poorly. You got to ask yourself how much of that has to do with the porous offensive line. I mean – Pete was getting destroyed. I mean, he.
I go back and say what I said before. His position is left tackle. He'll excel there. Anything else, he'll be mediocre. He'll be a fill-in, but he's just going to be mediocre. So, you know, same thing when you're talking here about these people. You know, you're exactly correct. If you have to play cadet, you know, let's remember, we cut cadet. Then we picked him up at the end of last year because we had nobody else. So now he makes the team. Well, that's a problem. And they activated Lasko. Now, I really thought maybe going to see Lasko. We saw him in special teams.
Right. We saw him make a couple plays on special teams.
That's correct. So, you know, to me, he's got so much more potential than Cadet, but we didn't see him. Same thing, Lolito is what I told you I was going to bring up. So we activate Allen, you know, the guy that I like.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, activate him. Maybe we'll get to see him for one series. You know, instead we got Lolito for the whole game. And Lolito's getting knocked on his behind. You know, he picks up the wrong guy. He double teams one guy, and then the other guy gets by. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. Coleman, yeah, I'm proud that he did a couple of good things yesterday. You know, but is this really a guy that we can depend on even at the fourth wide receiver spot? So when you take all that into consideration, you understand. Okay, another thing I was hoping we see Lasko is because Ingram's hurt. So at some point in the game, you got to say, we're not doing it. Take Ingram out. Put Lasko in. Let's see what he can do.
Or hell, just give him four snaps. Let it, like, and that's what they were working
one on. Series. That's all I'm asking for.
They were working their way to that before he got injured. He was getting like one series a game, and it was noticeable. He'd play three or four plays, and he'd come out. You wouldn't see him the rest of the game. But the team was making progress towards getting him more playing time.
So, yeah, but until he got hurt.
Until he got hurt. We saw him really offensively.
No.
I didn't notice.
No. So, to me, it's like you said. We have a team that is inconsistent because there's such a drop between the starters and the backups. You know, you had said before, well, you know, when you make the backups.
When you make your starters the backups.
Yeah, then you got something. Well, we got no level of starters going to backups.
No.
You know, because if you, again, just addressing the offensive line, which is going to be my, one of my good, bad, ugly things. But when you address the offensive line. As you said, Evans, as long as you keep him in a phone booth, we're good. Other than that,
yeah, he doesn't work.
Don't have
he's
anything
not playing
there.
Well in space right
Streif,
now.
Streif, he's playing a great season this season. I have nothing bad to say about Streif. But look at the drop-off between Unger and Lolito.
Yeah.
Too much.
It's night and day.
Kelemente. I actually thought they were going to scoot Kelemente over and put him at center and put Lolito at guard and leave
Pete
at left tackle and let Armstead rest again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what the mess is that they're doing with the offensive line. But the offense, now they signed a bunch of young kids, and I'm going to get to this, I guess, later on the show about what we should do for the last three games that we have left. But I've seen that we've signed a bunch of offensive linemen, and we still have some that we held over, Allen, Avery Young, Turner, you know. So, you know, what are we doing? What are we waiting for? So, anyway.
I'm wondering – and we'll hit a break after this. I'm just wondering if the Saints are this game are just saying, hey, look, there is still a mathematical possibility. We're not giving up. I think it's too early to start seeing the young guys get in there. They're still scrapping for everything they can get right now to try to get a win. So we'll see. But I tell you what, we're going to hit a break and come back. We got the good, the bad, and ugly.
All right.
And, you know, we got the rest of the show ahead. Don't forget, we have the new hotline number, 504-383-3369. And we have a couple of hotline calls. So you want to hang tight for that. And listen, on Thursday's show, we look forward to hearing some more of you guys call in and give us your thoughts on it. So don't be shy.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, so we're back here and we have a new hotline number. So what I'm going to do, that number, 504-383-3369. We do have a couple of hotline calls, so let's get to one of those right now. Tomas, what you think?
All right, go ahead.
Okay. What's up, guys? Thanks for joining me. First of all, I just want to give credit to Von Bell. The guy is 22-year-old rookie, and I believe it's going to be really great. But my real question is, what's going on with Cooks? I mean, son, let me break it down for you. I mean, you are never going to be a number one receiver. This might sound crazy, but I believe that we should trade him off. But sooner or later, he's going to want to get a big-ass contract. And I do believe Coleman played great for Ross Myers. Better see us trading Cooks than getting a midline factor. So, yeah, just want to make a point. That's it. Have an eye, boys.
All right, man. I apologize. I didn't catch the name. But
yeah, I didn't either.
But basically, we like to ask you guys. We've said in the past, try to keep it to a minute, and we try our very best not to use profanity. So
Be careful on the language. You know, we're not like some of these other podcasts that say all kinds of stuff. You know, we're trying to get everybody included, and we don't want anybody to turn us off because of some things that are being said.
Yeah,
you know, you can be critical. We like you to be critical, but you know, try to maintain your thoughts and make it short and sweet, and give it to us. You know, and
yeah, there you go. So, okay, so his points were, one, Von Bell.
Yeah.
He's playing very well. I think the thing with Von Bell, he's still missing some assignments, but when he does it, you can see the player he's going to be. I think he's going to be significantly improved because I don't think it's the physical stuff he needs to improve on. It's just I think there's some the playbook he needs to become more familiar with.
Right, there's a big difference between college and pros.
Absolutely.
You know, and he's done a great job to this point. But he still needs this season. This season will be good for him. He'll improve a heck of a lot from just what he's experienced on the field, and then just a little more mentoring, a little more hard work, which I'm sure he's going to do because he's
the
same tree of Mike Thomas, and I think both of them, you know, are going to come out for the second year. Again, like I always say, between the first and second year is going to be a huge leap forward.
Absolutely,
you know. So okay. I agree with that.
So now the
but
next
but I disagree
point,
with the next
he,
point.
He
Go
made,
ahead.
He made another point, and then he made a kind of smaller point within that point.
Yeah.
He said that Cooks, what's going on? He doesn't believe he's a number one, and I feel the same way. But
yeah,
I have to kind of preface it. There's more than just the fact that he's not a number one. He's an extremely talented player that makes a difference in the offense.
Yeah.
So to say he's not a number one, I can't just say that without explaining it because he's a super talented guy. The offense would not be as good without him.
Yeah.
Having said that, I do believe that yesterday we saw how the offense wasn't as good without Mike Thomas.
Yeah.
So the point is I think those guys kind of play off one another. One guy's a speed guy. One guy's the possession receiver, the big guy. The angles, when you throw in a ball at a guy who's maybe 5'10", that means you got to drop the ball over the linebackers and underneath. With a guy like Michael Thomas, and between him and Robertson, Tenson, Anyway, with a guy like Thomas, or you know, back in the day when Marcus Colston was in there, you would see that You just throw the ball, and I'm trying to imagine what I'm saying here, in an upper trajectory over the linebackers, the receiver just jumps up and gets it.
Right.
Now, and he takes a pounding. So, because he's up in the air, he's not on his feet, he's not catching on the run. When he's up in the air, he might get
so that's a big,
de-cleated.
Big, sturdy guy.
Right, and you need a big, tough, sturdy guy over the middle. Cooks is not that. I said to Tomas yesterday, even if they did feed, because who was it? Davis.
Charlie Davis said he should be fed 15 times for him to win.
If they fed him the ball 15 times a game by week six, by week six, he wouldn't be able to walk anymore.
Exactly.
You know, and that's not to even say he's not a tough guy. He's just not built
not that big.
The way that you need a guy who's going to take all that punishment over the middle. And so I don't want to trade him, but if he stands on his point about, man, you got to get me the ball more. Some games it's going to happen, some games it won't. His role is that of a guy who's going to be the deep threat. And, you know, maybe the little wide receiver screens and, you know, those type of jet plays. There's lots of things for him, but there will be some games because the possession guy is going to be the guy with more receptions, generally speaking.
That's correct.
And the speed guy is going to be the guy with, you know, four receptions for 132 yards if he has a big game. So I don't want to see him go because we would have to still replace him.
Yeah, we still need another speed guy. It wouldn't make any difference whether you have him or, I mean, Tommy Lee would be the same thing. He's even shorter, you know, he's a speed guy. So what you have to understand is your role on the team. You know, I can sympathize for Cook because I know he wants to be seen as the number one guy. But if he was 6 foot, you know, if he was 6 feet tall, you know, 210, 205, then I'd say, okay, yeah, and with the same speed that he has. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But he's not that big a guy. And this is not his first year. So he is who he is. He is the finished product at this point.
I agree.
You know, he's not going to improve over this. So you just have to decide, is, you know, what is your role on this team? And go, now, I wouldn't trade him because, again, we still need to have that position. What we have to do is you have to sit down with him and say, look, you know, think about this. How many people go to other teams and fail miserably because they're not in the same system? Sean Payton's offensive system makes a star out of people with Breeze at quarterback. When Breeze is on his game, he passes the ball to 10 different people. I mean, you have to – what's the ultimate goal? How many times do you watch these sports shows and they say the same thing? Oh, you know, this guy was great, but he didn't win a Super Bowl ring. Yeah, this guy was great, but he didn't win a Super Bowl ring. So you don't win a Super Bowl ring just because you're the man. Hey, my favorite quarterback, Dan Marino, no Super Bowl ring. Why? Because he had nothing around him, you know? So the same thing goes true here. Look, you've got Mike Thomas. He's going to be outstanding next year, even more than this year. He didn't even play like a rookie, for God's sake. You got Snead, who improved this year from last year, and I expect him to do the same thing for next year. You got two tough guys who get the ball in your intermediate routes. So what you need is you need a guy who's going to go out there and run five fly patterns in a row. Because if he does that, then by fly pattern number three, the defensive back's going to be sucking air. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be saying, well, they're not throwing the ball. I'm not going to break that fast. That's when you throw them the ball.
Right.
You know? So, and we've already seen that in a couple of games.
You got to let it happen.
Yes.
You got to let it happen.
Now, the thing that I believe is our weakness for Cook is not that we have Thomas as a number one and Snead as the possession guy. I think the weakness for Thomas is this. I mean, for Cooks is this.
Fleener.
If we had a tight end that then the safeties couldn't roll up on Cooks. Again, if you watch a lot of the games, you see how much they double up on Cooks because they know he's going to go long. Now, if you had a tight end who's going to be tough over the middle at the 15 to 20 yard like a Witten, you know, now he's going to have a different defense played against you. Our problem is, you know, I'm sorry. I know a lot of people think that I'm being hateful. I'm not. And I know he's being paid like a 16th tight end, whatever. But I still, he brings nothing to this team.
Now, statistically, he's being paid where he should be, but I feel the same way. I'm just like, and I know he's injured, but give me Josh Hill. If that's all I'm going to get out of 16th money.
Exactly. I just don't go with exactly right. Exactly
right. Keep your $7 million, I'll just replace with an undrafted developmental guy.
Or somebody who's sitting behind. No, somebody sitting on another team was a second on another team that could really contribute to our style of offense.
One way or another, you know? I'm sorry, if his production matches his money, which has been proven to be, then I mean, I just do.
I'd rather give.
I'd rather give that 7 million to a linebacker or a corner. You know,
but I think that between the offensive line and the tight end position is what's making Cook suffer, because you know, to make those double moves to fly down the field, Breeze has to have time.
Right.
That's not a 3 second three step drop and throw.
Exactly.
You know, that's a 7 step drop and throw.
No, you make the best point right there. And that's what, you know, the offensive line is contributing to a lot of the problems that we're seeing offensively. As long as we're not playing a team that has a dominant or a super effective pass rush, we are effective. But our offensive line, and I thought I read something that said the Saints had the fifth ranked offensive line. Man, listen, maybe they are when we're playing average to below average defensive fronts.
Running. When we had Pete at left tackle, Kelementi at left guard, Unger at center, Evans on right guard, and Streif at right tackle, that five-unit group there was doing great for the run, which makes perfect sense because those guys just push forward. You know, and as I said, I never did keep track of it. How many yards did Unger get? You know, because you'd always hit the back of the pile and go forward 3 or 4 more yards.
Right.
But when you don't have that and they have to block for passing, that's the problem.
Right.
Because if the guy gets past Evans by one step, we're done.
Yeah, he just, Evans, his lateral movement is
just got nothing.
All right, so listen, I want to also read from Lurking Around, from Saints Report, sent me an email. So I want to touch on this because it's actually part of what we're talking about right now. And it says, the main thing about Peyton's offense is to get the ball as many different receivers. Colston, Moore, Henderson always understood their roles. The issue with Breeze developed a friendship with Graham, and at times he tried to now I'm trying to read this as fast as I can. It may not be verbatim. Out of a scheme, and he tried to fit the ball to Graham. Graham had to be traded at a point.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Cook works with Breeze in the offseason to develop a close relationship like Graham. Thomas is now playing the Colston role and thriving in it. Cooks is more of a Henderson role, and he's not happy with it. So the last two games, Breeze, like with Graham, is trying to force the ball to Cooks. And I agree, and he also went on to say that Fleener and Lolito, which is something we were saying, are equally terrible, and Harper shouldn't be playing anymore. And I think that
Harper should play when we're in the red zone, because then you're playing in a box, which is what his strength is.
Right.
You know, but this is when you have to, and I've said this before, that when they said, okay, you know, he's suspended for the next 4 games, you know, when that happened, Vaccaro, I was like, well, that's the end of the defense. Because you can tell Vaccaro is a real game changer. He and Ellerby are the two game changers in the back
absolutely
part.
Absolutely.
You know? Just like Cam Jordan's a game changer in the front part. Rankins is going to get there. Fairley has played pretty well. But Kruger needs to be cut. Okay, no questions asked. He needs to go. And we have to hope that Kikaha and Guachum can come back stronger and fill in that role on right. If not, then we need somebody to be on outside, on that side, you know. So
Lurking Around, I appreciate you sending me an email.
Yeah,
we got the hotline up, 504-383-3369. Y'all give us a call. It's awesome when you do part of the show. It makes the show better. So please give us some calls. You know, we're doing the show twice a week. We got a show on Thursday. So if you give us some calls, we can put it on the show on Thursday. Now it's time for that very special segment when my buddy, Clint Eastwood, came in and did this this voiceover for me.
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for Dating the Bad and the Ugly.
I don't know, that's kind of as good and bad as my impersonation of, damn it, what's his name? He's supposed to help me out here. That's what we need.
Clint Eastwood?
Yeah, I can't think of Clint's name, but that's my man right there. Okay.
Every day for 20 years.
What's that?
She poured me a cup of black coffee. Today, it had a lot of sugar. You boys need to put them guns down. You don't think we're going to let you walk out of here?
Well, who's the we, sucker?
Well, me and Smith and Wesson.
There's so many good lines. You know, the thing that's probably lost, and we,
you know, my wife tells me, she says, why do you keep watching these movies? You know every word of every Dirty Harry movie.
I like to remember them saying it.
That's it. All right, go ahead.
Now, you know, podcasts are pretty much a millennial type thing. You know, and I know we have some older listeners, but that's, you know, and so yeah, I wonder how much of this is lost this stuff that I do.
All right, listen, all you millennials, go and watch Clint Eastwood and the Dirty Harry movies, okay?
Yeah, you'll love it. You'll love it. It'll be good stuff, man, if you can stop and pay attention for more than 45 minutes. All that stuff will be lost on them because they'll be texting in between while the movie's going on.
That's right.
What'd he say? Nah, you missed it. Mm-hmm. All right, so the good, you want to start it off?
With the good?
Yeah.
I don't know. Was there any good at all at this game?
Okay,
I'm going to give you a good. I have one good.
Every time we lose, it's always like it's easier to talk about the bad than the good. Yeah, and whenever you lose, you always think that it was only bad and there was no good. But quite frankly, I can't think of a whole bunch of good. That's why I'm letting you start.
That's all right. I'll start. Here's the good to me. The good to me is that I know a lot of people are going to complain about the defense. But I have to say that I thought the coaching of the defense was good. So if I have to pick a good, I'm going to say that Dennis Allen and his assistants, I think, did a good job in doing what they did, considering. Because, again, you have to take things into consideration here. You don't have the same 11 people playing defense this game that you had for the previous game. You look at what we had out there. Bro gets hurt. As soon as they put Webb in, they go and pick on. Mm-hmm. Well, you knew that was going to happen. You know, we have Robertson gone for the game. Okay, you got Stephon Anthony. And I'll say something about him in a minute. You had Stupar in there, who hasn't been playing. So, and then you have our boy Harper, whose birthday it was, a terrible birthday present for him. You know, I feel bad for the man because I actually like him. But you can't expect Harper to play 90 yards in the field and play 70 defensive plays. He's not that guy anymore.
No.
You know? But overall, I would say that the good was at least the coaching philosophy has improved tremendously. And again, if you look at it, how many points did Tampa Bay score?
Right.
16-11.
That's right.
Yeah. So 16 points. Now, if a defense only allows 16 points, you should win the game. And now you look back. Throughout this season, we've only been blown out one time. Only one time we got blown out, right? The Atlanta game was the only game
that's
we got
the only time
blown out,
we
right?
got the wheels
I mean, we
off
scored us. A lot of points. And you know, when we scored a lot of points, the San Diego game, wasn't that the one we scored a lot of points and they scored a lot of points too?
I mean, there's a bunch of there's quite a few of those.
But the bottom line,
the only one we got blown out, yeah.
Right, because a lot of times the other team scored points because the offense fumbled or whatever. It really wasn't the defense's fault.
I agree with that.
But overall, you have to say that the good is the improvement. Even though our record doesn't indicate it, the improvement on the defense. There's no way that the Saints defense is going to be 32nd. No way. You know, so that would be my good on this. I give a shout out to Dennis Allen and his group, even though there are a couple of people with dead wood, like Vinton Johnson. But, you know, other than that, I think it's much improved.
Well, and, you know, I would have to say, in general, I absolutely agree with that. And that's a positive going into next season.
Yes.
And again, when I say that, if y'all are like, well, what are you – that has been my – if you don't understand what I'm saying, that's been my rallying cry all year long, is that – we're getting everyone prepared, all these young guys, the team, the new defensive coordinator, all the new pieces. I feel like we're getting them prepared for our last legitimate run at it.
Perhaps.
And I'm not saying I'm right. That's just the point of my feelings on it. So the
what's
defense is improving. My good would have to be on the defensive side as well. You got Cam Jordan.
No, he's always good.
I mean, this guy keeps getting better. I mean, now he's just like this brutally physical guy.
Well, you saw that one play yesterday. We tossed the guy to the side.
Yeah. No, but here's the funny thing. Now, y'all know I didn't realize the game was a late game. So I made plans to go to a friend's church recital. And then as I'm putting the other games on and stuff, and I'm like, oh, my God, I realized the game wasn't too late. So I get there, and you hear us talking about Gary, the Detroit Lion fan. He's a good friend of mine. Yeah. And it was his wife's thing that she was putting on. Well, I get there, and I have my earphone on. I'm listening to Sirius Radio on my iPhone.
And somebody's texting you, too.
And Tomas is telling him what's going on. And then all of a sudden, I get there. Gary sits me down in a little seat he had in the front pew there, and he hands me his phone. And he took a minute, and he hands me his phone. And he had it all set up with the Saints game. So I sat there and watched. Because we watch the games at the – I don't have the package at my house since we watch it at the bar every week. So So I can't get it on my phone. So he does have the package at his house, put it on the phone. So I sat there through the first, you know, 40 minutes, the last 40 minutes of the game, and the first 40 minutes of recital with the phone between my legs watching the game. So I missed some stuff, but I thought that was pretty interesting, you know. But Cam Jordan beasting.
Even through double teams.
I mean, it's just like the thing about it is, we don't have any speed rush, this and that. I mean, he is so, he throws guys out of the way.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just strong, physical. The other one would be Fairley. He continues to play good football. And the thing that most people don't realize is how difficult it is to get statistics, to rack up sacks and tackles from the defensive tackle position. The guy every week is probably, I hope not, but is probably pricing himself out of New Orleans.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I hope not, because I don't want to see him back.
I think it's going to give us a hometown discount.
I hope so. But, I mean, to have – and I should have looked this up since I was going to make this point, but actually just this point's kind of off the top of my head. I should look at what – you know, what was the most sacks a defensive tackle ever had? Or, you know, maybe that's not a good – judge, because I'm sure
because it's a different defense.
Yeah, you know, and like Warren Sapp, I'm sure he's had
a whole
but
bunch.
Man, I mean, look, okay, let's use Junior Gallette, for instance, at defensive end.
If you have to.
He had 12 sacks, and that's pretty good, and that'll get you paid in the NFL.
Yeah.
So for paid. A defensive tackle to get 8 sacks, and I don't think he has 8 yet, but he's got to be at 6 or 7. I bet he's more like 7 pushing
no,
8.
I think it's 5.5 or 6.
When he had a sack yesterday.
Maybe
a half because him and Cam
half,
Jordan.
Because Cam was there. Yeah.
So, anyway.
Let's say 6+.
Okay, and so we still got 3 more games. If he finishes with 8 sacks, I mean, that's a huge payday.
True.
I mean, he's been a disruptor.
Especially considering that there's nothing coming from the right side with Kruger.
Right, yeah. So, anyway, so those are the guys to me that are the good and the elements that I think that are good. So,
so now we go to the bad.
Well, we got to hit the commercial break.
Oh, man, you know, all right.
Gotta,
already?
Somebody got to pay these bills, bro. You can't.
Yeah, okay, go ahead, bro.
You know, we can't just, you know. Got to pay the bills.
Now from the makers of Camafed comes Camafloss.
Ooh.
Camafloss.
Are you like me and enjoy fresh breath, clean teeth, and looking like a complete moron?
Camafloss.
Do you find yourself saying, I'd like to floss at a more inappropriate time, but how can I look more stupid?
Ooh. Camafloss.
With Camafloss 14-gauge wire, you get to the hard-to-reach places of your goat or donkey teeth.
Camafloss.
So the next time you're sitting in a board meeting, the sidelines of an NFL game, or maybe the keynote speaker of a Pee Wee Herman dress-alike convention, you can reach for Camafloss. And even though you might look like a jackass, you don't have to feel like one.
Ah, monsieur, I talk to you about the BS and beer. It's all very natural, no? Ah, sure, Mr. Internet Man. You listen to other podcasts, but not so good, no? Enough. You listen to BS and beer. Or a bon ton all over your face.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. Now back to your two yats and a coon ass.
All right, here, having a few beers over at the pub.
Right,
take it easy. Somebody get that man the Heimy maneuver.
Yeah. A Heimy maneuver?
Not that
many
beers.
Hey, it's a PG show.
That's too many beers on a Monday, man. Actually, for me, Monday and Tuesday is kind of like my weekend, so I should be drinking a lot.
Yeah, right now.
But the thing is, I drink so much at work that, it, you know, I got to take
when
the time off.
When your work
my
is
liver.
The bar, I mean.
All right, so we're back here, BS and Beer Podcast, and we did the good. We have another graffiti hotline call before we get to the
band.
And I think it's my bud, your bud too. He's your friend first, so I don't want to steal your friend, Lil Dice.
Hey, this is Lil Dice. So I have a good, bad, and ugly. The good is, got the phone line up.
I like it.
The bad, once again, second week in a row, 3rd and 1, we go empty.
Yeah.
And we don't convert.
I didn't think about that.
To pick up the first down. And the ugly is, the fact that Sean Payton really has nobody to answer to. He really has no boss. He runs everything. There will be no consequences for another 7-9 type of season.
All right, Lil Dice. Hey, you know what? Everyone out there, you can give credit to Lil Dice, because what happened was the provider that I had for the mailbox service, and you got to have a unique type of mailbox because you got to be able to download the voicemails. You can't just call and listen to them. And these guys are telling me that it's nothing on their end. It's just the – It's just the people calling.
Yeah.
And it's like, so everybody who calls the show, not that we have hundreds of callers, but, you know, we have, you know, we have three, four, five a week. And they're everybody whose phone service that's getting a busy signal,
it's your fault.
You know? So anyway, so Lil Dice gave me a good suggestion for an alternative. And it seems so far it works great. You know, so it's just as easy as the other one. And
well, it's a 504.
Yeah, so. And it allowed me to get a number that's a New Orleans number.
Yep.
So that'll help. I don't know. Nowadays, I don't think anybody pays long distance.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Not many people have a home phone anymore. It's all cell stuff. So anyway, but thanks for that, Lil Dice. So he said the first thing he talked about was the bad, and it was the no back set. Now, Tomas wants to talk about that, but... you know, we can incorporate it into...
Yeah, well, that was kind of something I wanted to say about the... That was going to be like my bad. My bad was going to be, as much as I liked how the defense is being coached, I don't like how the offense is being coached.
Okay.
And that was what I was going to say. So here we are. We've got... Cool.
I love that guy.
You know, we've got... I just don't understand. It's third and one, and like Little Dice said, empty backfield. What? Empty backfield with third and one? Seriously? This is not the kind of offense that I've seen in the past. You get two guys in the back, you put one out in motion, you bring one guy another guy. I mean, it's all about motion and movement, and I saw none of that. And so we limited ourselves to third and one. Okay, Drew, you're going to get killed back there. Get rid of the ball.
Right.
So, and with the poorest offensive line that we had, I mean,
it's just
you're asking
up
for death, you know? So I agree with Little Dice that was the bad, you know? So,
So my perspective of that, in the past, and now it's changed, is that, okay, Sean Payton, he gets it, and he whatever advantages he sees by clearing the backfield out, he gains something by having more people in the route or whatever.
If you had a real tight end?
For whatever reason, he feels he has an advantage by having going no backs. But after what I saw last week and the times in the past, and now this week when you basically get the same result, which is quick pressure and – no bad result.
Interception.
Right. And so now I'd have to agree with you guys and Lil Dice that I don't know why he continues to do it when it fails. And the thing is, it's not just, you know, look, nothing's perfect. We could have lined up two tight ends and slammed it in there and still failed. But at some point, whenever you continue to do the same thing, you're getting a bad result, you say, sooner or later he's going to do something different, right? And we're not. And that's the frustrating point is that you keep banging your head against the wall. You know, the whole thing, and I didn't want to go to this cliche, but the whole thing and the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. And that feels like what we're doing right now. Anyway, thanks for the call, Lil Dice. We look forward to hearing from you again soon.
And don't forget, and I mentioned this to Lil Dice on when we were tweeting each other back and forth. Follow us on Twitter, and remember to use the hashtag BS. The letter N and beer, right? So BS capital, lowercase n, all capitals, BEER, with a hashtag.
Does the capitalize, not capitalize make a difference?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, man, I'm glad I'm learning all this stuff between you and Lil Dice and teaching some things.
Because that way, you know, it gets us around.
People get more
realize.
People involved.
That's right.
Well,
that's right.
We appreciate all the help we can get for your support and getting us out there. More people listening. Better show we put out, and makes it more interesting.
Man,
so
we just make some money.
that's kind of, well. What do you think all these commercials for, man? I'm waiting for my check.
I'm hoping that Cam sends us a check pretty soon.
Camafed, yeah.
That's right.
Well, we haven't. The sales have been a little slow.
A little slow.
But production is good.
I agree. Good. Production is excellent.
All right, let's get to the
ugly.
The bad and ugly. The ugly, I mean. So yeah, we already kind of touched.
What's your ugly? Besides your face,
man. You see, you had to go there, and you know I'm pretty. You know I'm pretty. I don't
ugly.
Know why.
But go ahead.
All
the
right,
face
see,
only a wife could you, love, but you, go ahead.
You did the Heath to me. You just kind of put me on the spot, and I'm like, well, yeah. anyway, the ugly. The ugly had to be the offensive line. The ugly had to be how our offense just seemed to not be able to get in sync at any point. And to me, it, and I have two uglies. So now that I think about it, one is the offensive line and the poorest play. You know, listen, it's won and lost in the trenches. I don't care how good your skill players are. If you can't get the ball off, if you can't get protection, you're not going to be successful. The second thing is I spent the entire offseason and most of this year talking about how next year is my that's the year. That's our last legitimate opportunity to make a run. And, man, they're making me look bad right now because you would expect even if we lost, we would lose in a way that wasn't so frustrating or so out of sync and just look like things are going in the wrong direction. We need things to look like they're going in the right direction, even if we lose that, okay, we did a lot of things right. And what's frustrating is it's just looking it right now, I have no confidence that this team is going on any kind of run next year. I mean, if they're going to go on a run next year, they have to start showing something this year that says, hey, we just need to plug in a couple of positions and then things will start looking better. But now we also have Bro go down. So, you know, it looked like a shoulder.
Yeah, bad shoulder.
And I just don't know. I mean, you know, you keep having these guys go down and it doesn't look any better when you keep running out guys like Webb onto the field. And then we also saw Crowley. And, you know, yeah, quite frankly, I know it's your guy. It's just – he didn't look too sharp either. It's just, it's frustrating.
Now, you know, you have to be careful because there were a couple other players that the Saints had who are now gone. Because other teams have picked them up, just like we picked up the kid from the linebacker from Pittsburgh.
Okay.
You know, Devontae Harris got picked up.
And did he? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he got picked up from our practice squad, and so did Elliston, whatever his name was.
Elstonson.
Yeah. Both of those guys are gone.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So now we're just down to one guy, Crawley.
Crawley. Well, he's on the active roster, so he's not going anywhere.
No, hopefully.
Yeah,
not going anywhere. But
and this is okay. Look, and let's also take into consideration that it's not just about them being great. This time of the year, everybody's depleted.
Yeah,
and they're trying to find
and
guys.
That's why
to fill
people
a
are
roster.
Getting picked up. Yeah.
So anyway,
and it could well be that we'll pick up some of these guys again at the end of the season. I mean, you just never.
Yeah,
know.
You never be on the street or whatever. But, now, so any more uglies that you want to?
Well, you know, I guess I could have an ugly. And here's going to be my ugly. And I know people are going to hate me saying it, but my ugly is Drew Brees.
It's hard to argue it. I know people will be mad, by the way. But
Yeah. But look, I just want to be legit in what I say and what I want people to know that, yes, I love my Saints. And yes, I'm a homer for my Saints. But because I am a homer and I love my Saints, I have to tell the truth when it's necessary. And I can appreciate that little Dice is concerned about, you know, the coaching staff. And, yeah, you know, let's face facts. Loomis and Sean Payton are going to be there as long as Mr. Benson's alive. So, you know, that is what it is. But I have to look at Drew. And I noticed something in yesterday's game, and I have to go back, and I don't have the video of the game before. I mean, you do, probably.
I do, yeah.
Yesterday, he was throwing that shoulder around a lot. After every play, he was moving. You know how he does that sometimes when he moves, trying to move his shoulder back? But, man, he was doing it a lot yesterday. And I'm wondering if there's something going on. I'm wondering if maybe he's hurt and hasn't said anything and the team's not saying anything. You know, maybe he's sore, got a hit somewhere along the line. I mean, I don't know. But the ball's not exactly, you know, zinging off of his throat.
Coming out of his hand right there, yeah.
You know? In spite of what you were talking about, you know, the trajectory of the ball being a certain way for certain receivers, it just, you know, there's just something there that's just not quite right with Drew. And you know, he's a big mechanics guy. He's you know, he's not going to be a guy who's going to go back there and just fling the ball like Aaron Rodgers. You know, the feet have to be in the right place, the hips have to be in the right place, the shoulders have to be in the right place. He's all about angles and mechanics. So I'm just wondering if there's something there that we don't know about. He re-injured something but anyway, my ugly is going to be, I just don't like the way that Drew's running the game. You know, so that would be my ugly, and I'm sorry for all my. That doesn't mean, you know, I'm expecting Drew to have two more good years. That's my expectation. I'm expecting two more good years. You know, I know you're looking for next year. I'm looking for 2 years.
Okay.
I'm hoping for sure we get deep into the runoff, into the playoffs next season, if not the Super Bowl, and then the following year for sure, making it all the way to the Super Bowl. So that's my hope there. But anyway, so that's my ugly.
BS and Beer Podcast, covering more area than Peyton Manning's forehead.
Mm-hmm. All right, so now it's time for the rest of the story.
Yes, sir.
Other things that we need to touch on.
All right, so here's the rest of my story.
All right.
We only have 3 games left. Let's be realistic. We're just playing for pride at the most.
Draft pick spot.
Okay, because we're done. I don't want to hear about, well, mathematically we're still in it. Well, if we ran the last 3 games, we'd be 8-8. 8-8, I don't think is going to win the NFC South. And that's the only thing you're going to – you have to win the NFC South to get in. You're not going to go in as a wild card because you got the Giants, you got the Cowboys, you got the Vikings, you got Green Bay. I think all those teams will be ahead of you. So, okay. So I think that perhaps it's time for us to look at some of the people we have either on the practice squad or sitting on a bench. Time to find out, can these people play? And if not, then we're starting to make, you know, okay, making the analysis of what we need for next year. I'll throw out some names. Like, for example, I said Devontae Harris, not with us anymore.
Right.
Lampman is still with us. He came back, looks pretty promising,
and, I mean,
on special
teams.
Yeah,
he's playing
special teams. But his position is wide receiver. Well, maybe it's time for us to, you know, is Murphy the guy, or is it time to cut him? You know,
and that's a question that needs to be answered. And maybe here's the thing, Tomas. Maybe that question has already been answered, but because of this time of year, we mentioned guys getting banged up. You're just like, you know what? I do not see him being on the team next year. I mean, he just can't field the ball. His only real value to the team is in return game.
And if
and,
he can't,
and he
do
can't
that,
field the ball,
then he's gone.
Yeah.
You
so
know?
It's like a receiver that can't catch.
Exactly.
Man, that guy's fast, strong, big. Man, he goes up there and. Yeah,
well, like
catch the ball.
Say, he's got 4-5 speed and 5-5
yeah.
hands.
I always tell people that I'd have been a great basketball player if I could just, you know, dribble pass and shoot. I'd be a hell of a basketball player.
All right, you got some of these other guys. Linebacker, Feeney, Washington, Crawley. You know, when are we going to see these guys play? We picked up Keo. Is it just a temporary or what? Who else I got here on this list here? The one I was surprised about, Allen. He didn't play yesterday, even though he was active.
Jack,
I would have liked to have seen him for at least one series just to say, okay, let's see what this guy, what this kid can do. You had Hills in there, and he messed up the whole time. He's got to go.
He cost us. I mean, I'm not saying he cost us, but I'd say it's a pretty good reason why we didn't score there right before.
I would have liked to see him one series with Allen at center, Turner at guard, Pete at tackle. Now, I know Turner plays right guard, right? He doesn't play left guard, right?
Yes, plays right guard.
But still, I would have liked to have seen him over there sit Evans down, and let's see what he can do. I mean, to me, that would have been Edebali played a little bit yesterday.
Yeah. And, you know, he's a little bit disruptive. He got his hand on the ball.
Yeah. The kid Barrington, who's a linebacker, he got penalized on a play, but he's playing special teams. Mm-hmm. So there you go. I mean, there are a lot of kids on the practice squad, you know. Maybe it's time to bring Grayson back.
Well,
you know. Well, I'm just saying, look,
no,
it's obvious
you.
To me. You have it's going to be one of two things. One, immediate impact. Well, he didn't do that. Okay? So he's not one of the kids who's going to be an immediate impact. Now, Aaron Rodgers sat on the bench for how many years behind Favre?
Yeah, it was like 3 years before he got his shot.
So maybe, you know, Grayson is making progress. We don't know.
Right.
We have no way of knowing. But, you know, you're never going to find out if all he does is play during the spring training. And during the OTAs, and he's got to get in the game.
I agree with you that you'll never know. I think, though, that's one position that I don't think you're ever going to see the Saints say, you know what, Drew, just sit down. We're going to see if the rookie or the young guy, just for no reason. Now, if Breeze has a shoulder injury like you alluded to, then maybe I could see him. Now, one guy you didn't mention that we were talking about before is Lasko.
And I know we told him yet, but okay.
Early in the show, I think you brought him up, but
he's
a guy that
he's one of my favorites.
You don't have to really sit anybody to see if he can play. You just be like, hey, take a break there, you know, Ingram for a series.
And Hightower.
Y'all just sit this one out. We're gonna let the
see.
Kid
that's
have
another
a
thing.
Snaps.
I didn't mention this, but now that you said that, you know, Hightower's playing for bonus money. Why didn't we have him playing more yesterday? Again, you've got Ingram hurt.
Man, economy's tight. Economy's tight, man. Like, you ain't getting that bonus.
What it is? You think that's what it is? You think Coach was saying,
hey,
you ain't getting no checks from me,
bro. Go in the
game. Brother.
All right, Coach, by the way, you're playing fullback. You ain't touching the ball. So, anyway.
Griffin, the tight end from Air Force. You know, we signed this kid, Crisp, tackle. North Carolina State. How about they get Williams Lambert? You know, here we're talking about a tight end.
But these guys are on the practice squad.
Yeah.
See, in order to get them on, you have to cut somebody to get them onto the squad to actually get some playing time.
And he's looking at me like, and it cuts him out.
And what's your problem with this? And I get you. I just think.
Who's going to pick up Cadet? I just give an example.
Nobody. Nobody.
Okay.
Cadet. I shouldn't say that. It's
who's going to pick him
it's
up?
It's not impossible that someone who's banged up would pick him up.
You cut Hill. Tony Hill. Who's going to pick him up?
Hill's.
Hill. Yeah, who's going to pick him up?
No, he'll be there. Okay, I just want to say this. I'm not saying they wouldn't get picked up.
Yeah.
Simply because it's the time of year where right. everybody's banged up and you just need bodies. You need
players.
Yeah,
but there are only three games left.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's not going to be part of next year. The only way he's a part of next year's team is if we have some more injuries. So
and he'll be available just like he was this year.
Right. And so you wouldn't want to cut a young guy that you feel has potential, even though he might not be ready now. But a guy like Hills.
He ain't got no potential.
I mean,
he's
you done. Just sign another guy off the street.
You sign this other guy, Stoneburner, who was tight end.
A nice name. Yeah. Nice name.
Yeah. Almost like Stonebreaker. But Stoneburner. And then you got Williams Lambert, who, when I saw him, I remember the first time I saw him at the training camp. I looked at him and was like, is that a new tight end?
He's a big kid.
Man, the guy's huge. And so I thought, well, this might be a kid. And you do remember that I had him on my list, which you've erased off the whiteboard.
Yeah, I had to erase that list. Uh-huh, uh-huh. I mean, because it was so big. Yeah. There's so many names on the list, I had to erase it. Mm-hmm. Just to have room.
Yeah. But go ahead. So, you know, I'm just saying there's some kids that I'd like to say, let's see them and see what, you know, what they have to offer. That's all I'm saying.
No, and I like the idea. I like it's time, and I wonder if, like, the Saints just weren't ready to fold the 10 up this week.
Well, they played like they folded the 10 up.
That is a very good
point. Because that's going to be my other – like I said to you about the offense, whereas I thought that Dennis Allen did a good job with what he's got on defense, and I think they're going in the right direction. And, you know, sort of like we said, that they might be better and have the same record or worse record, even though they're going to be a better team just because of the schedule.
Right.
And I think that pretty much came into play. But to me – when you look at it, like I said to you, we're holding teams less than 20 points. We should be winning all those games.
Right.
Okay.
And you know,
and I don't see the, you know, now that I'm thinking about it. Remember I told you this when I got back from West Virginia. I told you one of the things that came to my attention was how the offensive huddle was breaking so quick and sharp to get up to the line. That they were moving. I told you, I even said to you, wow, maybe they're going to go back to moving a faster pace like we used to see rather than eating up the clock and, you know, having to call a timeout. Well, now I don't see that. Now I see them dragging, and you know, they're running out of time, timeout, you know.
Yeah, that's getting pretty frustrating.
So to me, again, I go back and say, where is the – there's nobody's inspired. Nobody's playing inspired ball.
Well, you know, and you wonder if that's not a byproduct of just, you know, failing a lot. You know, we're not winning. You know, we had a point where we got to 500, and, you know, it's like you got some pep in your step.
Dave,
and
if you and I are playing pickup football,
no,
I can understand that.
You're right.
But when they're writing you a big old giant – check. At the end of every game, you're getting a check with six figures in it. At the end of every game, Dave, that's the motivation you have right there.
I can agree
with that. That's your inspiration and your encouragement right there.
I can agree with that.
You're going to the bank to cash. I don't know. I've never cashed. Well, I take that back. I have. But I haven't cashed too many six-figure checks. Okay.
Now, but we'll both agree that in this level, there are guys who, towards the end of the season, when things aren't, they start.
They fold it up.
They fold it up. They're doing just minimal. They don't want to get hurt. They don't want to spend the offseason in rehab. They're just giving you whatever minimum, and you got to figure out who those guys are and
which
get them out.
Which is all the more reason to have these kids.
Yeah, at least, if nothing else.
Because they're going to come out hard.
Yes, they will.
Say, man, I want to make this team again. You know, so. All right, so there you go.
Now you know the rest of the story.
Good day.
All right, Tomas.
Yes, sir.
Time for some final thoughts, my friend.
Yeah, final thoughts. Season's done. Stick a fork in us. And what I'm going to say is, look, if we're going to play for pride, I'm going to say it just like this. If we lose to Arizona and we lose to Tampa Bay.
They haven't been playing very well. That looked like a tough game early in the season.
If we lose to Arizona and we lose to Tampa Bay, I'm okay with it. As long as we beat those dang Falcons in the last game. If we can just beat the Falcons, I'll be okay. I can live through this 6-10. It's not what I really wanted, but as long as the Falcons are crying, I'm okay.
Well, I'll save my thoughts because on Thursday's show is when we do the NFC South recap.
Yeah.
But Atlanta's playing pretty good ball. I have to give the devil their due.
44 points.
But, that wasn't offense. They were just, every time I looked up, they was just, Beasley must have had a, every time I looked up, Beasley was doing something. Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, so.
That's it.
As far as my thoughts go, quite frankly.
You don't have any.
No. Yeah, I don't have much. I'm going to wait till you quit laughing at me.
You know, Heath isn't here, and now you've picked up Heath's
slack. Yeah, well, you know. That's Heath.
Sorry, Heath.
You catch him when he's not, like, he's, you know, not paying attention or he's, like, off guard. You're like, what do you think, Heath? Yeah, well, he'll get his thoughts together, so we pick on him about that. But that I did do a Heath right there. Right. Well, anyway, I do believe the season's over. Mm-hmm. Now it's one of those things where it's like you're not too upset when they lose, but the problem still remains. If you have any hope for the future, you know, teams that go to Super Bowl don't lose 5 out of the last 6 games. You know what I'm saying? Now, maybe you get some injuries back. I'm talking about next year. Things look different. Pick up some right free agents and plug holes, and all of a sudden you don't have Cadet and Coleman with 10 touches and Lolito playing entire games, and everything starts looking better. But right now it's pretty discouraging if you're looking for next year's run. So that's what I'm going to be paying attention to, is if this team comes out with some fire that shows me that they're ready to make a move next year. So, I mean, this year it's going to be – I mean, to be looking for any kind of move. You're just looking for guys to improve. So,
I hear you.
All right. For Heath Elson-San and Tomas Mauricio, let's give that number out one more time.
What's that number again?
It's 504-383-3369.
There you go.
Call us on the hotline. Let us know what you think. We'll see you next on Thursday.
That's right. Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.